Turn with me, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, as I've entitled this, A Living Faith. I'll begin reading God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes. And she said, Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. O Lord, open our hearts to see and learn about faith from this passage of Scripture. We pray that you will make things clear to us as we consider this, that you will send your Spirit to teach us, and that you will bring your word to us. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. It angers me when I hear heretical pastors and ministers, so-called ministers, on TV who claim to have the gift of healing. They stand over someone saying, do you have the faith? Over again and again. Do you have the faith to be healed? Do you have the faith to be healed? Trying to build up some kind of emotional high as if their healing depended upon them or upon the heretical ministers and pastors' faith. We have come to find out that many of the so-called people who were healed through these works or through their services were planted there. They were staged there and were never really sick at all. The teaching you find here in Matthew 15 regarding faith is nothing like that at all. There's a lot of talk today about faith and what it means. The faith referred to here is not your faith, but faith in Jesus, in Him. So let's look together at these verses and see what we can glean about a living faith. The first thing I'd like you to notice is found in verses 21 through 24. Verses 21 through 24, the person your faith believes in. The person your faith believes in. There are three things I'd like you to notice here. You see a mysterious Christ, first of all. In verse 23, he is silent. Verse 25, the disciples probably wanted Jesus to heal this woman, or to heal with her request, and get her out of the way, because literally it means she was screaming continually and weeping. It was continual. No. And the Lord didn't answer her. It was Charles Spurgeon who said once, the silence of God is worse than a yes or a no when God doesn't respond. It is very difficult when the Lord is silent and does not answer your prayers right away and makes you wait. Verse 22, I'd like you to notice, as I said, she is continually asking him with a loud voice. You notice in verse 23, it says, she did not urge, but ask. And of course, disciples send her away. The word cries, it says she cried out, it's a word that has the sound and the meaning of the word, what we call onomatopoetic words. Crazo is the word that's used here for crying. It's such a loud, hard crying, like a croaking. The woman here in Matthew 15 cries out, have mercy on me, even though she was asking for her daughter, because as we understand, sometimes these things affect our lives as well as it was affecting her life to take care of her daughter. In Matthew 14, Jesus waits to the disciples before he walked on the water. He watched them for hours before he did. These are things like we just don't understand. I mean, it's amazing when he actually went to walk on water. Let's look at Matthew 14, 22 through 24 for a moment. Matthew 14, 22 through 24, and this gives us this context here, is what happens when Jesus went to the disciples. Verse 22 through 24 of Matthew 14. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now it says the fourth watch, he went to them. But you realize the fourth watch is around 3 o'clock a.m. And when he had set them there, it was evening. We don't know exactly what time, but it was evening. I mean, all those hours, he watched them. He sat up there and he watched them in the boat as the boat, you know, is in great trouble and almost, you know, is going to turn over. And he was, you could see the disciples, but Jesus waited. And that's how he often does with us. He sees our concern. He sees what's on our heart. But many times he waits to respond, to grow our faith, to have us trust him. So you see a mysterious Christ here. Secondly, you see a ministering Christ. You see that in verses 21 through 24. You know, if you understand this and look at this in context, Jesus' purpose was to develop her faith, not smash her. That's what he wants to do to you and me. And Jesus uses all kinds of circumstances he brings into your life to change you and develop you. Look what happened to the woman caught in adultery in John 8. Everyone wanted her stones. Jesus said, he without sin, let him throw the first stone. And no one did. And Jesus could have really come down hard on her for her life, but he doesn't do that. Look at John 8, 10 through 11. John 8, 10 through 11. It says, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. A woman probably thought that she was going to be stoned because she was caught in adultery. And you can imagine as this conversation is going on between Jesus and the Jewish leaders, and she just waiting to see and probably figured it was going to happen. But Jesus has mercy on us. He makes her wait. He makes her wait as he converses with the leaders. It's amazing, the mercy of God. He ministers to his people. And his idea here and his purpose here is to minister to this woman, not crush her. And then thirdly, you see a merciful Christ. You see a merciful Christ in verses 21 through 24. You often see the mysterious, but the mercifulness, the mercy of God is always there. John 21, you don't have to turn there, but that was the restoration of Peter. 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. If we keep on confessing our sins, he keeps on forgiving us of our sins and keeps on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. He's a merciful God. He died on the cross the sins of his people. Notice the disciples learned something from all of this as well. They probably learned that Jesus was mysterious, but he never does things to be cruel. But we have to trust him and believe him. That's what he wanted his disciples to do and this woman. Many years ago, there was a tightrope walker who put a rope from Niagara Falls. He had a rope connected from one side to the other, and he was going to go walk across it, and he had drawn quite a large crowd. And he asked him, he said, "Do you believe I can do this?" And they said, "Yes, we believe it." They all said that. And he said, "Okay, then who wants to get on my back and go across with me?" All of a sudden, there was silence. But one person agreed to do it, and he went across safely on the other side. You see, that man really trusted him. He believed in him, that he could do this. You know, Jesus is telling you and me to believe in him, to believe he has a faith that will encourage, that we are trusting in him and not ourselves. Secondly, notice the faith that you believe with in verses 25 through 27. Something happens here. A faith that springs forth, first of all, from hopelessness. You notice true faith has no pride. The woman said, "Well, yes, Lord, I know you came to the house of Israel, but I just want scraps of mercy. Just give me a little. That's all I need. You are so great, Lord." She knew that there was no one else who could help her. And the word help, it's a verb that's as a command. Please help. It's a desperation. A faith that springs forth from hopelessness. We have those issues as well, don't we? When we cry out to the Lord, and we just don't know what to do. We know he's the only answer. And we pray and we pray and we seek him. And in his time, he does his will. Secondly, it's a faith that has definite convictions. A faith that has definite convictions. You know, she believed here. She said, "Lord, yes, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She knew she didn't have much faith, but her faith was in the Lord. She was looking at her circumstances, and she understood what Jesus came to do, and that he came, but she knew that he was a merciful God. So faith that has definite convictions. And then thirdly, actually, should go back here a moment. The woman listens to Jesus, but does not turn away. She had convictions about him, who he was, his character, his love. And we are to have those convictions as well. Turn to Hebrews 11:1 for a moment. Hebrews 11:1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's the faith that we are to have. We hope in the Lord. We've never seen him with our eyes, but we know it's true. And that's what it's saying here. Things hoped for. Things that are not seen, but we see evidence of it. Thirdly, you see a faith that will not let go. Verse 26, she says, "Even the dogs get the crumbs." Well, the kind of word she's using there is the house dogs, not the wild dogs that would run the streets in those days. They would sit patiently and wait for a crumb to fall on the floor. And the woman answers Jesus with a very strong affirmation, "Yes, Lord, you are right, but I know what you can do." And the word for crumb is a very, very small morsel, very tiny. And she said, "That's all I want. Just give that to me." Faith is important. Faith that will not let go. Look at Hebrews 11:6 for a moment. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Remember, this kind of faith is exhibited with Ruth and Naomi. She would not let go of Naomi. Naomi pleaded with her, with both her daughters-in-law, to leave and go back to their people, but Ruth would not. She believed in her and stuck to her and would not give up. That's the kind of faith we are to have, the faith you believe with. Thirdly and lastly, notice the faith you possess within, verse 28. Jesus says to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. The faith you possess within. First thing I'd like you to notice, great faith is not the amount of your faith. She did not have great faith in herself. That's why she was calling out to the Lord. She had a simple faith, a very, very simple faith. What does Jesus say? Great is your faith. In him, not in herself. She was clinging to him. I believe she didn't have a great faith, but she had a faith that was in the right direction in the Lord. Notice, she doesn't mention a word about her faith. She didn't say, oh, Lord, I'm trusting you. I've trusted you for a long time. I have faith. I know you can do this. She didn't say a word, but Jesus did. He was the one that said that once you said her faith was great, was Jesus. We never know what our Lord will do if he wills. But our faith is in him. It's not in us. It's not the amount of faith you have. It's faith in Jesus. And he can do anything that he wants to do and often does things that we don't understand and beyond what we could even comprehend. Look at Ephesians 3:20-21. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We have faith in this kind of God. In this kind of God who is able to do this abundantly above, not just above, but abundantly above. And not just abundantly above, but exceedingly abundantly beyond, above all that we ask or think. You see, that's the kind of God we are to have faith in, not in ourselves, not thinking that we can change God's will, not thinking that somehow it's our faith that's going to do it. No, it's faith in him. So great faith is not in the amount of your faith. Secondly, great faith is not in the ability of your faith. Not in the ability of your faith. So many want to say, well, you have to not only have the faith, but you have to activate it, to really make it happen. It's not in your ability. How do you think this woman felt? You think she was on top of the world because of her great faith? No. She was grateful to the Lord for hearing her little faith. He's the object of your faith. It's very interesting. Look with me for a moment to Matthew 14, verse 28 through 32. Here is another example. Another example of keeping faith in the Lord, keeping our eyes on him, looking to him with the little faith that we have. Matthew 14, 28 and 32 says this, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, and this was when Jesus walked in the water. He said, Lord, if you command me to come to you on the water, if it's you, command me. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. So he was focused on him. he was able to do what Jesus told him. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. And he said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So, "Oh, you of little faith," not his faith, but Jesus. That Jesus said, "Come," but because of all the wind and the water and the waves, it wasn't his little faith. It was his little faith in what Jesus would do. Great faith is not in the ability of your faith. It's the Lord. Thirdly and lastly, great faith is in the object of your faith. In the object of your faith. Jesus is saying, "Because your faith in me is so great, let it be to you as you desire." That's what he says to the woman. "Because your faith in me is so great, let it be to you as you desire. You don't have to tell me or ask me. Your daughter is healed." 2 Corinthians 5:7. Look at that verse for a moment. 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Faith in God, faith in our Lord Jesus, not in our own faith or our own ability, but him. It's directed to him. It's his faith that we, it's in him that we hold on to. Not our faith, but faith in him. So what is great faith? It's not in your ability or possessing great knowledge of theology or memorizing large volumes of writers or being able to answer all the critics. It has to do with the object of your hope, your trust, your confidence, and that is in the Lord Jesus. You need a humble heart. We all need a humble heart and a gentle spirit to cling to his promises, to cling to his will, his power, his sovereignty in all things and all situations, in such a way as to never let him go. We're all faced with issues that lie in life that God brings providences and things that come into our life we don't understand. But it's not our understanding. We trust him. Our faith is in him, not in ourselves. Great faith remembers what the Lord said to Joshua and takes those words to heart and believes what he has said. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, 7, and 9. I want to read these verses as we close because they're very important. You know, Joshua takes over for Moses, and they're getting ready to cross over and take the land. And you can imagine what it was like, what the people must be feeling. They only ever knew Moses. The Lord says to Joshua, "You're taking over. You're going to lead the people." This is what he says, verse 5, 7, and 9. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That's a truth that should be applied to us as well. This is true. Jesus is always with us. He's directing us, and he tells us to be strong and very courageous. Notice in these verses, he says it twice, because sometimes it's hard for us to do that. We're strong and very courageous, not in yourself, but in the Lord. It's in him that we trust. It's in him that does this. It's not our own works or our own ability. So this is part of what's involved in a living faith. It's Jesus you focus on. It's the faith, the little faith that you have, but it's little faith in the Lord Jesus. And that little faith that you have in the Lord Jesus is a real living faith. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for showing us truth, showing us truth about faith. Help us to remember it's not our faith, but it's you. And great faith is faith in you and not ourselves and in our circumstances or what we can do. Help us to remember this, O Lord. And we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can thank the Lord. That's all right. So let us remember these things and let us close in prayer. Oh, did you have a prayer request earlier, Jordan, that you got cut off and you didn't have it? We didn't get it?
Yeah, this March is, March 4th is 1 year for Papa.
Yes, I have that, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, March 4th. It's so hard to believe, isn't it? Yes, we will. We will definitely be praying. All right. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time that we could gather around your word. Thank you that you are all-powerful and that our little faith, if it's in you, it is great faith. Remind us of that, O Lord. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.